It's the Dr. Fitness and the Fat Guy Show, making healthy living fun for everyone.
I want to congratulate you on the show. It's really great.
Well, thank you. That's great to hear.
And I actually have your book, You Can't Lose Weight Alone. I love it.
You guys are excellent. I check you guys out every week.
I love your show. And every week I learn something new, so I think it's great.
Well, thank you. We appreciate it.
Join Dr. Fitness.
No, it's no longer a six-pack. No, it's the eight-pack and the 12-pack.
And the Fat Guy.
Or what I have, the pony keg.
They deliver the skinny. On Getting Skinny.
Doctor, another fine day.
Another fine day here, Lee.
In Dr. Atlanta, Fitness Georgia. Land.
That's right, Atlanta, Georgia. And Lee, I'm very excited today. You know why?
A lot of guests.
Always excited to have a lot of guests. But I'm excited because Bruce Springsteen released another album. Did you know that?
No, I don't.
These are the outtakes emails. From the Darkness of the Edge of Town.
I just follow Max Weinberg's wife on Twitter. That's my only contact with the E Street Band.
Are you making fun of me? Are you giving an obscure reference to Max Weinberg's wife that only people who listen to the show would know about?
That's right. That's who I'm entertaining.
For those who don't know that, the fat guy and I went to go see Springsteen. We had backstage passes. And what happened, Lee? You want to explain the story once more? Because it's a funny story.
They have to know. This is for the fans. I don't have to explain anything.
Can I explain it, or do we don't have time
to
explain
it? All
right. Let's bring our first game. It is a funny story. I will have to bring that up because it was a great story. Classic Dr. Fitness stuff. Well, once again, we have with us Robert Davis. He is our buddy. He's also the Healthy Skeptic. Great book. And he has a company called Everwell. Go check them out at everwell.com. And he's here with us today to talk about energy drinks and
how awesome they are.
Drinks and how now they're, you know, you combine energy, you combine alcohol, caffeine,
nothing bad can happen.
And it sounds like a bomb is about to explode. And there's a company out there that's actually made a lot of money. There's one specifically. Kids right out of college became real wealthy very quickly, and all of a sudden they find themselves and they're going to have to change their business model very quickly. So, Robert, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks. Great as always to be here. Go ahead.
Yeah. There was a company, I forgot the name of it. It's
Four Loko.
It's college.
If you
kids.
Have the word loco in your name, that should be a tip off that maybe that's a little dangerous.
I don't know. That always reminds me of something coming from Costa Rica. When I hear something Four Loko is always something that's a tan body or something. But apparently a bunch of kids developed this a couple of years ago. Alcoholic drink flavored with a little bit of caffeine. Marketed real well on Facebook to college kids, went to college campuses, had gross sales of over $144 million in less than 4 years, 5 years? Crazy.
Crazy. A brilliant marketing strategy.
Brilliant marketing.
Unfortunately, the drink is not safe, so
it's
that's
not
the
safe.
Problem. This drink, for the uninitiated, not that I am initiated, but the drink contains about the equivalent of a cup of coffee's worth of caffeine, and then it's got alcohol, so the equivalent of maybe 3-4 beers, something like that. And so college students mainly have used it, and what it does is it accentuates the intoxication. So people are more drunk, they're more likely to engage in dangerous behavior, and there are reports of lots of kids getting very, very sick, having to go to the hospital, and some even dying reportedly.
Right.
And so the FDA has finally, after a year of a number of public health officials screaming something has to be done, clamped down and said that they have to take the caffeine out of these drinks, which is what
not the,
company,
the alcohol.
Not
good
the alcohol.
With that. They're good with that.
They said the caffeine is contaminating the drinks, so that they have to take that out. And so now they're going to have to be reformulated to include only the alcohol.
So it's decaf. They'll sell it as decaf.
Exactly.
And one of the arguments to this was, well, what's the difference between if I were to take one of these alcoholic beverages and had a cup of coffee afterward?
Right. Or not that I'm trying to give anybody ideas. You have these other energy beverages that are just caffeine, about the same amount of caffeine, these energy shots, for example. So you could take the alcohol and then take an energy shot, and it presumably is going to do the same thing.
Right.
So like a five-hour – what are those, five-hour energy?
Exactly.
A five-hour energy teeny.
Right. But apparently it's the simultaneous consumption is where the issue is, because – yeah, of course you can have the drink the alcohol, but you're not drinking the alcohol and a cup of coffee at the same time. So it's the simultaneous consumption of alcohol plus caffeine together is what's causing the problem.
Exactly. That's the theory.
That's the theory.
Scientists don't fully understand what's happening here, but they know that it's causing a problem.
Right.
But I think what this raises, for me at least, is a larger question about energy drinks in general, because there are lots of other energy drinks, Red Bull being the leading one on the market, but 5-Hour Energy, the others, that don't have alcohol, but nevertheless make lots of promises to people, and they've become very popular. Lots of people use them now to get perked up, to feel more energetic. And one of the things that I'm concerned about is they make this claim that the key is the vitamins they contain, the B vitamins, that's what's perking you up. And so people often get these beverages and think that, well, it's natural or that I'm getting B vitamins and that's what's doing it. But if you look at the evidence, it's not B vitamins. B vitamins don't, even though it's true that they are involved in energy metabolism,
right,
that's different than making you feel energetic or making you right. feel that you can stay awake.
Right.
And so what really gives people sort of the energy is the caffeine. And often the caffeine is hidden in these things. So if you look at the label, you'll see something that says guarana. And you're like, oh, well, that I don't know what that is. But what that is that's hidden caffeine.
Now, this is also – is this more – when they talk about energy and I feel more energy, this is more subjective stuff too, isn't it? It's not – you know, people talk about these energy drinks. It's not like – I think the expectation of taking energy is like – like remember when Popeye would take the spinach and then his arms would get bow up and he'd get all – It's a subtle change, correct?
It's absolutely. Not, so it's often the placebo effect. People think they're feeling
effect.
Better and they feel perkier, you know. So that's often what's happening here.
Right.
But because what they typically have is about the same as the Four Loko. They have about the same as what you get in a cup of coffee,
right,
the amount of caffeine.
Right. So do you think there's going to be further and further legislation against – is the FDA actually stepping up in there? And do you think this stuff will be banned? Do you think they're going to take it off the market?
What they're going to do is to say that for now you've got to take the caffeine out. It's going to stay on the market with the alcohol. But I suspect there's going to be more concern about this. And, you know, as we said, there are probably going to be other things that people figure out how to do to get around this, to take substances together to create the same kind of effect. So I'm sure that there's going to be a lot of monitoring of that to see what's happening.
Well, it's good to know that this only took 4 years for them to figure out.
And a couple of lives. Only a couple. It wasn't, you know.
They were doing human testing in real life, in the wild.
So, and.
But I should add, you've got, you know, this stuff is so popular, you've now got Facebook pages devoted to
right.
it and kids stocking the stuff up before it leaves the shelves. And so I have a feeling people are going to find ways to get around
you
them.
Think college kids with a lot of time and some disposable income and the love of energy drinks and drinking, they'll form another combination?
Yeah, it sounds like a disaster waiting to happen. Robert, what's going on with you? Anything exciting coming up for the holidays? I know we got Thanksgiving coming up. Are you how's everything going?
How are you gonna, what are you going to debunk at Thanksgiving?
Yeah, what's going to happen? People are going to sit down with you at dinner for Thanksgiving.
Well, Robert, I do have something to tell you. You know, we hear all the time that turkey makes you sleepy.
Right.
Not true.
Not true.
Really?
Not true.
So you can eat turkey.
What about
if you get sleepy, it's probably because you pigged out.
Yeah, maybe you ate too much.
You can't blame the turkey necessarily.
Right. It's not the turkey. You see that, Lee? Not the turkey for Thanksgiving. Another myth debunked by Robert.
So you don't have
Davis.
To take an energy drink before Thanksgiving to kind of balance everything out.
But I would tell everybody to go to our site. We've got excerpts from your book on our site, everwell.com.
Thank you so much. We really appreciate that.
And
yes.
We're very excited. It was great. We're getting great feedback, and it's great
really?
Information about
our parents.
He's surprised. Lee's always surprised that we get any feedback from anybody. He's
really?
Always surprised. So
I'm a healthy skeptic.
Well, it's great information, and so we encourage everybody to come look, and we're sending it out on our newsletter list, and it's there on the website. So we don't want to give away the whole book, but we give away enough to encourage you to go buy it.
That's right. Are you working on a Healthy Skeptic Part 2? Is there stuff coming up for another edition?
Actually, I'm working on one right now that will involve nutrition claims. So a bunch of just sort of quick take, a fun read on everything from microwaving plastic is bad for you to
yes.
You
BPA.
Know,
anything on BPA in there?
Working on it now.
What about the pH balance in foods to help you lose weight? You heard of that?
You know, that's a good one. I haven't thought of that one. That's there you
See
go.
That?
So,
you're welcome. That guy's on the cutting edge of everything
and
that's out
food
there.
Combining? Does that help
food
you?
Food combining, that's one that I'm looking into. The answer is no, but right. that's one that I'm going to be writing about.
Now, Robert, if you want, the fat guy is willing to go to any multi-level marketing company
yes.
and sit in on all those meetings. You know how all those people like to get people? He'll do that for
I love
you.
That.
And get all the research behind that, if you like.
That would be excellent.
That'd be good?
That'd be excellent.
I have an office in Switzerland where we do that.
And he's got and he's got a host of doctors' names that you can't pronounce that right. have that have majors or they have biochemistry degrees
from Switzerland
that left
universities.
Other companies because they came up with this great formula and the other companies didn't want it. You know,
and the best way to market something is one at a time rather than putting it in like a mass market store like Walmart.
Robert, it's always a pleasure to be here with you, and thanks again for another great segment, great information, and I hope you have a happy and healthy Thanksgiving.
You too. Thanks for having
me. We'll see you next month, bud.
Thanks.
Always a great. That's Robert Davis. Make sure you check him out. The book is Healthy Skeptic, a wonderful,
that's
wonderful
a must,
book.
You must have that. That is a must have.
Yeah, I love that book.
Anybody that even thinks about health and fitness has to have that book.
Great segments in there. Also, check out his website, everwell.com, as well. And I think
you know, he's an award-winning health journalist.
He is. And you know what? I've seen him on TV before.
Really? I haven't seen him on TV.
He's awesome.
Was he on iCarly?
No, he wasn't on iCarly, but I've seen him on CNN, and he's got that
He looks very professional.
He's very professional, and he's got that he's very tailored and very skilled at speaking in front of the camera. You know, remember when we did our thing in front of the camera?
Yeah, we're
remember
not.
How they told you that,
yeah, that I failed.
You failed. You shouldn't be on TV anymore.
I was not meant for the camera.
They said I did pretty good, but you were terrible.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, anyway. All right. Well, let's bring our next guest. We have with us – oh, but before our next guest comes on, they should go to our website, right, Lee? Dr. Fitness and the Fat Guy at drfitnessandthefatguy.com. Check out our new book, 35 Things to Know to Raise Active Kids. Okay. We have with us next the lovely, the talented blogger, healthfulbitesblog.com. Carla, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
Oh, I got a chance to meet you in person up in New York. Wonderful. You're absolutely more beautiful in person than we've seen in the pictures. And how is everything going?
Things are great. How are you guys doing? Gearing up for Thanksgiving?
We're doing great. We're getting ready for Thanksgiving, and I got the fat guy ready to I'm basting him. I'm going to stick him in an oven and cook him, and we're going to sell parts of him.
Deep fat fry him.
Yeah,
that's my dream.
I'm going to stick him in a Popeyes restaurant. What's going on for you? How is your Thanksgiving? Anything from the Healthful Bites blog that we need to talk about for this month?
Well, I thought that we could cover some things about biking. Are you guys still biking? I know it's getting cooler, but you have that tandem bike. And
the fat guy got a Harley Davidson, so if you mean that kind of biking, he's doing that.
I just wear their clothes.
Yeah, he wears the Harley clothes. No, it's getting colder. We haven't been doing any biking, but we got to bring out that bike pretty soon. It's getting rust on it
in my basement.
Yeah, it's in your basement. Right. What do you got? What kind of tips you got for us, dear?
Yeah, so I just wanted to talk a little bit more about biking because you guys, I know, have been covering a lot about running, and I think that biking is getting pretty popular these days, too. Of course, there's nothing to knock about running, but bike commuting rates are really on the rise, especially in Atlanta, I found out.
Yes.
And there's just some neat things going on in the world of outdoor biking.
Yeah. And you also got a lot of those paths that you can go on, and like the Greenway and the Silver Comet Trail, places where there are old railways that you can go and go for long rides on those.
Yeah, some of the larger cities, even in cooler areas, have had like bike commuting rates increase. They did a study from like 2000 to 2009, and they increased by more than like 100% the amount of people who commute by bike or ride their bikes around town. So that's pretty neat.
Cool. Any special thing that we need to know about your bike that you should have on it, like a horn? Like the fat guy has, like one of those.
I like to put baseball cards in the spokes.
He has that bell, the thing that rings. Is that important to have? Or?
Well, it can't hurt. And I know that the first thing that you really need to have is a helmet because bike helmets reduce your head injury risk during a bike crash by about 85%. So that's the number one thing that you need to have.
And in the wintertime, you got to dress a little warmer because of you know, being on a bike and the airflow, it's got to be a little cooler, so you got to dress appropriately for that.
Right, warmer and more reflective since there's less daylight hours.
Probably something to cover the eyes, too, because the eyes get a little watery if you got the wind right in them.
Yeah, a good pair of sunglasses. Even
goggles.
or a motorcycle helmet. The fat guy puts on a motorcycle helmet when he rides his bike. You know, he looks like the Knight Rider. Yeah, so it's pretty good, too.
That's a good look.
Now, are you going riding in the Central Park? Is that anything happening there for you? Are you doing any bike riding there, Carla?
I'm not doing a ton of bike riding outdoors myself these days. This is kind of an inspirational idea for me because I don't have a bike in the city because I don't have anywhere to put it. But I would love to if I had one. But
right. Well, Carla, we unfortunately we have to make our segment short today. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. Biking now, get your bike, get on your bike, and go to your website also, healthfulbitesblog.com. And what are you doing for Thanksgiving? Are you getting any chicken? Are you doing anything fun? Is there anything?
Probably going home.
You going back to Iowa?
Yeah, I'm going home next week, so that should be great. Helping to cook, and we'll have a bunch of healthy food. So,
are you going
to
have a fried turkey like me?
I think we'll just have a roasted one.
What is this? Am I the only person who
likes
fried
turkey? See that, Carla? You're healthy. I like that. Listen, thank you so much for coming on the show. We wish you a happy and a healthy Thanksgiving. We will see you next time, next month, and look forward to getting some more great information from you.
Sounds great. Thank you.
All right, Carla.
Get on your bike and ride.
Will do.
Have a great day. We'll talk to you real soon. That's Carla Walsh. Check out her blog, healthfulbitesblog.com. Great information there always, and some great tips. Also, check out us, Dr. Fitness and the Fat Guy, always at drfitnessandthefatguy.com. Check out our website and get on our site and become a Facebook fan right now, because our next guest is one of our Facebook fans.
She better be. If she's not, I'm going to be upset with her. Nikki Miko is with
me. I absolutely am.
Oh, thank God. Nikki Miko, Eating Well Magazine, always a pleasure to have you. Nikki, did you get our book, by the way?
I did. Thank you so much.
What did you think?
So good.
What did you think of your contribution to it?
I am honored to be part.
Well, we couldn't have done it without you. We couldn't have done it without you, Nikki.
They said, forget it. We're not publishing it.
Well, now
we're going to quiz you on it, Nikki, because I don't believe you really read it.
It's in my hand, too.
I can't believe you're going to quiz her. Were you my dad?
Yeah.
You're going to quiz her? Who are you?
Always a tough guy. You know, I got to say.
I know.
You're always the one who makes me sweat during these interviews.
See? I know. He's always the
What was your favorite part? Go ahead, quick.
When she opened up the box and probably saw
her name
that
there's
a book. That's probably what she thought.
I got to say, I love having my name on it. I like how they have... I like how it's.
It sounds like you're scrambling.
No, did you?
I'm not scrambling. You gave them themes, like
right.
I'm not really speaking very well here.
No.
You're scrambling.
Look at it and come away with things to do. So it's not just a bunch of essays that people are like, I don't care about Nikki Miko and if she played with her neighbors when she was a kid. You can learn from it. You can say, oh, this is what she did, but you. Tell people how to sort of implement it.
Did you like the fat guy's little zingers there at the end of each chapter?
I'm telling you, she hasn't read anything.
A little zinger that he throws in there, a little tips there, a little funny
quirks. I did. Like, for example, working as a cinnamon roll model at the mall helped me pay for my college. Now, let me quiz you, fat guy. Is that true? How many calories are in a Cinnabon?
About 2,200 and the ones I go for.
Nikki, listen, tell us enough about our book. I know the fact it likes to put the spotlight on us, but I want to talk about Eating Well Magazine and the new issue.
And finally, the pomegranate has made the cover.
I know.
Thank
you. I knew you were going to be excited.
Thank you. Thank you.
The pomegranate
How
is
long
wonderful.
Have I been lobbying for the pomegranate?
Probably
for
about
several years.
How long have I been on the show? 2 years?
Several years.
Now I got to tell you, the pomegranate must have been a very, very difficult fruit to
photograph.
And I see I see you chose to slice this one.
You had to. What, are you going to put a big red blob on it?
I mean, it's beautiful. I think that, you know, I don't want to speak for Mike and Ken, who are, you know, our director and photographer, but I would argue that the cookies were harder to make look beautiful. Like
I think
pomegranate, it's like jewel tone.
I know. You know.
You know
what would have been cool? A big, like a martini glass filled with those little Averils.
We have champagne glasses filled with, you know, mimosas.
Right.
But, yeah, that would be cool. Maybe next time.
Okay.
Maybe next time.
Now, if you would consult me with this, I think we would have better covers.
Now, I will tell you, the one article I read that I really, really enjoyed.
You see, this is the difference. He actually reads the magazine.
I do.
Uh-huh.
I do read the magazine.
I just got it about 30 seconds ago.
You know what he does with it, Nikki? He puts it on his coffee table because it looks so good. And
it impresses our
wife's
friends.
Decorations. But I did enjoy the probiotic issue. And because the probiotics has really gotten a lot of play, and people are really wondering about should they be taking probiotics and what in fact they do. So I really thought that it was a really well done piece, and you can see that the you know there's a lot of people that believe in taking them, but the data is still the jury is still kind of out on the probiotics. We know that we should probably be taking them if we're on some sort of antibiotic because it's going
to
throw off the intestinal flora, but in terms of you know, first of all, identifying all the different types of probiotics and which strains we should be taking, it's a very difficult thing.
Yeah, and I think, you know, just, you know, for people listening, you know, probiotics are the good bacteria that sort of combat the bad bacteria. And often, you know, if you are going through antibiotic treatment, a lot of the really strong studies that show the strong benefit, as you pointed out, are done in those populations. They're done when people have taken antibiotics, wiped out all the good bacteria, so you're sort of replenishing
them. I think that the picture of the guy is the best mustache ever.
Isn't it?
It's a throwback. I mean, it looks definitely like
a vigorous mustache. The writer who wrote this story, there were two writers, Ben Hewitt did the profile of Sandor Katz, who calls himself a fermentation fetishist. I can't even say that word. He described his mustache as vigorous, which I absolutely love that description. And if you see his picture, you would probably agree.
Yes.
But yeah, identifying, you know, probiotics occur naturally in some foods. So, you know, as you're culturing foods like sauerkraut or yogurt, but whether or not those foods have enough of the quote-unquote good bacteria to show real health benefits, you know, the research is sort of still out on that. But they are healthy foods in general.
Right. And one of our good buddies, Dr. Johnny Bowden, he's a big fan. One of his biggest tips is fermented soy. He's a big fan of not to people think of just soy products in general, but the fermented soy
tempeh.
Exactly. Uh-huh. He's a big fan of that and recommends that people should take that. And
well, just to kind of give you a little preview on the issue that we're wrapping up right now, our January issue, we have a piece on soy, but fermented soys there's a benefit there because it helps to it somehow reacts with the phytic acid, which that acid prevents absorption of calcium. So the fermented fermentation, when you're talking about soy, does have some health benefit there too.
Right.
That's what he's talking about. Before.
Nikki, what is going on for you for Thanksgiving? Anything special we need to know about before we?
I'm coming down south. I'm coming down to my in-laws just moved to North Carolina, so we are going to be there for a week.
I'm heading up north, and you're going down south. I can't believe that.
Yeah, where are you going?
I'm going up to New York, and I'll be in New Jersey for the actual Thanksgiving. I haven't been in New Jersey for Thanksgiving in probably 20 years. Anyway, but listen, we have to do a short segment today with you. We wish you the best. Make sure everybody go check out the new issue of Eating Well magazine. It's got great information.
Pomegranate on the cover.
Pomegranate, great recipes, 48 healthy recipes you'll love. You got some great stuff for the holidays. And eatingwell.com, one of my favorite websites, too. It's a great website. And always a pleasure, Nikki, to have you on the phone. And we love always talking to you.
Thanks for having me. Have a great holiday.
You too, dear.
Be good.
Okay, bye-bye. That's Nikki Meeko, associate editor for Eating Well magazine. Make sure you go pick it up. Newsstands right now, eatingwell.com, also a great website. Check out Dr. Fitness and the Fat Guy at drfitnessandthefatguy.com. Okay, we got our good buddy on the phone right now. We have with us John Biggs, the editor of Crunch Gear. CrunchGear.com,
magazine.
Who's just been – you have new bosses now. Is that true? You have to work for somebody else now.
Yeah, we work for AOL apparently.
Now I used to get so much crap, John, that I still keep my AOL address. People are like, AOL? Like it's inferior. Now CrunchGear.com, one of the most technologically advanced websites that are out there for gear and stuff, they get bought by AOL, and now all of a sudden my website is cool again.
No, it's not.
I mean,
cool
my email address is cool.
No, it's not. Just don't even think of it that way. I mean, just because we're bought doesn't mean that we're a rising tide does not lift all boats. I guess.
did they pay you in CDs? Is that AOL CDs?
I got hours, so I got full. I got about 1,000 hours right now.
Just, you know, a free internet, free internet time.
Free dial-up. I can just get on there.
That's awesome.
Out.
You remember that? You remember all those CDs they had out there that you can, you know, sign up for AOL, get the CD, stick it in your computer, let it infect your computer, and remember all that stuff? It's crazy. It seems like it was 20 years ago.
My favorite thing, it was basically 20 years ago, my favorite thing about AOL was that they were pretty ahead of their time when it came to some of the features that they had. I remember that there was an operating system that they were selling, that they were giving out as well with their little thing, and it actually worked really well on old computers. But I mean, what have they done for me lately?
Right.
Buying out my parent company.
Right. They bought everything, and then they almost went out of business. Right. They bought a lot of stuff. Time Warner.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, John, we only have a little bit of time today, but since we only have a little bit of time, Christmas, Hanukkah is going to be upon us anytime soon.
fitness-related gadgets. What is on your Santa list or your Hanukkah Harry list that people must have this year? What is it? The one thing, if there's one item they have to have, what is it?
Let's say something like the like a nice Sunto, a nice Sunto heart rate monitor watch with a foot pod. That would be my the ultimate gift that you would give somebody. Because I mean, you basically can use that on almost anything. You can use that on cross training. You can use that on running. You can use it in some cases, and if you have the right gear, you can use it in biking. And you basically, I think since I started paying attention to heart rate during exercise, I think it's actually helped me out because I kind of understand where I need to be, and I don't have to drive myself nuts on the treadmill for like 12 straight hours to get the right workout.
John, do you know when they're going to come out with the strapless heart monitor? Because that's the one thing I can't stand is anything on my chest that's snug against my chest when I'm running.
What about that scarf? Looks pretty good.
Yeah, you could just tie a
He's making fun. I'm wearing a scarf. He's making fun of me right now. are they going to come out with something like that? I mean, are people demanding that?
They already have some of them, but I think the heart rate monitor, world of heart rate monitors is kind of in stasis right now. So
yeah.
You're not really seeing anything change in that front. I think the reason why they do that is basically you're going to get a better signal out of a huge, giant thing that's stuck to your chest.
Right.
Weird and small that may or may not be touching the skin.
Right.
So if you're going to do it, you might as well go whole hog. I guess that's their thinking. I've seen some watches that allow you to do your heart rate by touching it, a part of the watch.
Right.
But those have rarely worked well.
Now, John, any feedback about the Fat Guy? You know, we've been contributing with Crunch Gear with our question and answers, our answers to your on Crunch Gear. The Fat Guy thinks he's too much of a smartass on some of the answers. People are getting offended. Any feedback that you might have gotten that
other than why are you doing this? Why are they in this blog?
How is this news? Why is this right on my site? That sort of thing. And that's actually a question that I'm asking myself. I haven't heard anybody complaining. I think there's so much content that gets pushed out. I think people think that we have instant feedback on everything.
I actually nixed the idea. The fact I actually wanted to put scantily clad pictures of himself in the next articles, and I said no, we're not going to do that of you. We're not going to take any pictures of you and do that, right?
But I'm wearing this really cool gold watch. I thought you'd like that.
That sounds fine by me. There's no issues with I think sex sells, and I think anti-sex actually sells.
And you're a big watch fetishist, right?
That's right. Yep. Absolutely. So that's the combination heart rate monitor, and also
foot pod.
Well, that actually tracks the sensor of how far, fast and how far you've gone, stuff like that. That's the way to go for this year's Hanukkah Christmas gift. No, what about any iPods? Should they be getting the iPod right now or the anything?
What about? I need a strap for my iPad on my chest.
Yeah.
The iPad for your chest, is strapped
right.
to chest.
To run with.
DigiFit just released a iPad compatible sort of like heart rate monitor / everything monitor. DigiFit, and I have it here in front of me, and I haven't really played with it. It's ANT compatible, which means it works with most devices, but I haven't really enjoyed using the iPad as a device to carry with me while exercising. The iPad especially is kind of, you have to strap that to your back while you're doing the marathon.
John, the fat guy told me he started using his phone, his Android phone.
I was using a Runkeeper app.
Yeah, and he liked that.
That was because I found it on his thing, he told me.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, well, there's Runkeeper. There's also another app called Kinetic, which is pretty good. There are plenty of apps. Again, if you're going to buy anybody anything, you basically just get them an iPhone 4 and they can do anything you want them to do. You don't really need, watches anymore. You don't need GPS devices anymore. That's all built in now. But if you're going to go hardware only, that's probably one of the best places to do it.
Well, John, we always appreciate you taking time to come on our show and giving us great information. Always. We wish you a very safe, happy holiday. I know you're getting gearing up for next year's New York City Marathon because I know you're inspired to do it. After watching this year's marathon, you're going to be doing another one.
So we'll be there. We'll be there with you next year, for sure.
All right. But you're not going to run it with me?
I will.
No.
I will. The fact I'll hold the water. I will. I will. I'm getting excited. I think I'm getting ready for another marathon myself. So anyway,
right.
Listen, have a happy holiday. And everyone, make sure you check out crunchgear.com. We really appreciate you coming on the show today.
Talk to you guys soon.
Take care. That is John Biggs, editor of crunchgear.com. Make sure you go check them out online. Great information, great technical information on gadgets that are out there. And when you're online, also check out Dr. Fitness and Fat Guy at drfitnessandthefatguy.com. Okay. Let's bring on our next guest. We have with us Pam O'Brien. She is the editor of Fitness Magazine. The new issue is out. Another wonderful issue. And I had the wonderful opportunity.
Who's that on the cover?
It's not somebody we know.
No, it's a model.
It's not Pam O'Brien, but pretty close. I did
I
get
wish.
A chance.
That's how oh, I wish.
That's how I imagine Pam looking.
I did
is
get
that
a chance.
Not accurate?
I know it is. I got a chance to meet Pam in person, and she's a very attractive lady. And I really appreciate taking time to come see the studios there in Fitness Magazine Land. It was really a wonderful place to
it was
to
so
see.
Fun to meet you.
Yeah, it was great. And
let's not get carried away, Pam. You don't have to suck up to him.
Pam, I noticed that Pam and I have the same problem that Lee, like we get all these books and everything.
And she loves scarves?
No, she doesn't. He's making fun of me, Pam. I'm wearing a scarf, and he's making fun of my scarf right now. But we both – her office is filled with tons of fitness and health and fitness books, and just like we get, you know, tons of books as well. So we have this whole, you know, plethora of books and stuff that we don't know what to
– Plethora?
Not to
do
it.
You use the word plethora?
Yes, tons of them.
Just to impress Pam.
I did. Pam, first of all, Thanksgiving is going to be here next week. Anything
right.
that you're doing special for Thanksgiving? You're going away? Are you going to be doing the cooking? Are you in charge of the turkey trot run at the O'Brien household?
Well, this year we're actually traveling to Cleveland to be with some family. So, and we're all going to pitch in and help cook. So it should be fun, I think. But yeah, I have already planned. We're all going for a big family walk or run, depending on what people do in the morning. So
nice
to get out there and get some fresh air before we start all the cooking and eating.
Great. Well, this issue is out. It's featuring, you got some information from Bob Harper.
We were really lucky to get Bob Harper to give us an exclusive workout, which is great. You know, people love him on The Biggest Loser. He's a great guy.
He is.
And he designed an express workout for us. So it's a 15-minute workout, and it's an arm workout because it's the time of year for our readers when, you know, there's lots of parties, you're wearing a little black dress, you want to make sure your arms are looking really good.
Right.
So Bob gave us a fantastic workout.
Yeah, Bob is great, and he's got a huge following.
I know.
You know, we had him on the show, and he just had tons of people that just went right to us to listen to. But it's amazing the power of that show and how many people he connects with. You know, I remember watching when it first came out. I didn't really think it was going to have the legs to stay on as long as it has, but it really resonated with the world. People love that show.
Yeah, it truly has. It's amazing. Our readers love it, too. And, in fact, in this issue this month, we followed up with some of the people who had been on the show in past seasons to kind of just see, you know, have they managed to keep the weight off?
So what happened?
Did it really work? And they did. It was really kind of great, actually. They all lost huge amounts of weight.
Right.
Like they went from, you know, 239 pounds to 135 pounds, and they've kept it off. And they all have secrets for
how to do it.
Slim. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah so. We've actually had a bunch of them on the show. We've actually met some in person. And the thing that's great about the show is it seems like most of the people that lose the weight, they go on like a circuit of like, you know, where they talk and they go and do events. And so they obviously want to stay up with their weight loss. They just don't go home and go back into obscurity. They're out in the public now. So I think that's a great motivator to stay in shape as well.
It really is. I mean, once you're on that show, yeah, you don't want to be the one who gains the weight back.
Right.
Right?
Right. Oh, there she is now. Look, she's even heavier.
Yeah,
like, wow.
Right. Exactly. That's not what you want to be known for.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it gives you extra incentive to stay slim.
Now, also on page 115, the thing I liked is the –
Page 115?
Yes. I don't know if you've looked at it, Lee.
I didn't look at it that closely.
Oh, I like to
know. You remember the page number?
I do. I want people to know exactly what I'm talking. You know what? You know when you go to like People Magazine and you go to and you try to find out where the stories are and you're like, you can never find the page where it's at.
Yeah.
So anyway, but one of the things the articles that you have was about the health mistake fit women make. Like most people, you know, are there's a study that recently came out about the negative effects of sitting at your desk all day. And I think that's really going to, you know, impact the way people see their workstations as well.
Exactly. And, you know, for our readers, we thought this was so interesting because, you know, you work out, you think, oh, I'm pretty healthy. And the problem is most of us are sitting for 9 hours a day. I mean, just think about that, 9 hours.
Right.
And even if you work out every single day, it's not enough to combat that effect of, you know, all that chair time that you're putting in.
Right.
So you've really got to get up and move throughout the day. So, and because this can increase your risk of diabetes if you're sitting too much.
Right.
Your body stops burning fat when you sit too much. So, you know, we're recommending to people that at least once an hour you get up, walk down the hall and visit your coworker. Don't email them all the time. If you have stairs in your building, go up and down the stairs. Go out at lunchtime, take a walk. You've just got to build activity into your day.
Now, did this change the way that you view your workstation as well when you saw that information that came out about that?
It really kind of did because, you know, I have one of those office chairs that has wheels on it. So it's easy, too, if you're reaching for something to just kind of wheel yourself
right,
over.
Right.
So now it's like moving things, so I really have to get up.
Yeah, Lee, when I was up there at Fitness Magazine, they took out – I noticed they were taking all the furniture and putting in treadmills everywhere.
Yeah, treadmill
right.
desks.
Yeah, there was no more desks
no
or
more
stations.
Chairs.
Yeah, just treadmills everywhere where people worked. And now, but that's – yeah, I think that's really going to change the way people – you know, think about when they're sitting all day long saying, I got to get up. Or even their workstation. I know that even having a standing workstation,
yeah.
It might be the way to go in the future as well. So
exactly. Hopefully this will change the way office furniture is designed from the get-go.
Right.
Because it's just adding to the problem. And, you know, people are just sitting glued to their computers all the time.
Right. Well, again, Pam, I always appreciate you coming on the show. The new issue is out. Make sure everybody go pick it up, the new issue of Fitness Magazine at your newsstands. Also, the website is great information as well, fitnessmagazine.com. Great stuff, and we really appreciate taking the time to come on the show and wish you a happy and healthy holiday.
You too. Thanks a lot.
All right, we'll see you next
bye.
Time. Take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. Make sure you check out Fitness Magazine online or at fitnessmagazine.com and go to your newsstands right now. Also, check out Dr. Fitness the Fat Guy at drfitnessthefatguy.com. Check out me, Dr. Fitness the Fat Guy, Lee Cantor. Great tips, great information, great interviews. And check out our new book, 35 Things to Know to Raise Active Kids. Okay. Excited to always talk to our buddy Roy Johnson, editor of Men's Fitness Magazine. And Roy, it's a pleasure to have you back on the show. I know it's been a while since we talked to you last. And the new issue is out. How are you doing, and how are you gearing up for Thanksgiving, bud?
Well, I feel hurt that I haven't been on in a while. You know, I'm happy to be back, and I'll get over it.
Listen,
but just wanted you to know that I was feeling a little bit of pain.
Roy,
a little bit lonely.
Are we related? Because you're sounding a little bit Jewish to me now. I think you're giving me a little bit of the guilt. Giving me a little bit of the Jewish guilt now.
I don't know.
I think we're related. I think we're related.
You know, Thanksgiving is right around the corner. It's my favorite time of year, not just because we all have so much to be thankful for, but because we get to eat great stuff. And we are gearing up for it. We've been shopping and looking for all those great things that are not totally good for you, but it's the one day you can indulge a bit, especially if you work out in the morning.
Now, Roy, do you have any special rituals that you guys do as a family on Thanksgiving? Any active rituals that you guys do to go, like, for a run together or play football, anything that you do with the family?
No, our ritual is cooking and eating. We try to have friends and family over, share the experience from morning till evening. We have food and football.
That's it.
So,
that's all that's
so
done.
We go pretty much right down the middle of the plate with that.
I got gotcha.
So it's not the baseball plate, the
right.
The food plate.
Now
and have fun with it. We try to enjoy the day when everybody's home and share it with friends and just enjoy the evening.
Now we got the guy. Now I see Men's Fitness on this month's cover, the new issue of December. We've got the situation on the cover. This guy, it's to me, is unbelievable how this guy built up a career. And obviously he's well physique. He's
but
got the abs.
He's kind of a dime a dozen if you ever in New Jersey.
People from New Jersey look at this guy going, you're no different than 4 million guys in Jersey. So
except that he's making $5 million a year.
I know. Isn't that unbelievable?
Isn't that
unbelievable?
Is
That's America.
God bless America, right?
Exactly.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable stuff. So he's got the new issue. Did you get a chance? Did he talk anything about his workouts, things that he does? I know he's got the popular show. What's it? Jersey Shore.
Jersey Shore,
right.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the thing that he is known for among that group is not only his abs, but his physique. And,
right.
You know, the show is a lot about them partying and having a good time, but we wanted to show what kind of hard work it took to look like he does. It's not all genes. It is also core work and diet especially, because people forget that in order to get great abs, it's not just about doing 1,000 crunches, but it's also watching your diet and eating lean. So, you know, we have the step-by-step plan for getting a situation six pack. So if you want it, you can get it by picking up the newest issue of Men's Fitness.
Yes, and also there's an article in this as well about martial arts and combat. And you know, this is something, I don't know if you know this, but the fat guy is a trained killer. He's trained in Muay Thai, Judo, Sambo, Taekwondo. Right, Lee?
Well, I wish we had known that before we had done this article.
I could have. Maybe I'll be on the cover next time.
We were looking for someone to feature that epitomized each of these fighting genres. But this is our combat issue, and we say that not just in a manner to try to promote fighting, but you know, there's so many great ways to stay fit and have fun, and a lot of them are built around these techniques of self-defense and you know, based in fighting rituals. So we wanted to put together a lot of exercises and a lot of different strategies based on that so people can see that there's a lot of different ways to get fit. So whether it's Taekwondo, Jiu-Jitsu, Jeet Kune Do and Sambo, and there's Muay Thai and Judo, if you want to try them, you know, we tell you all about them, the benefits, how to get started, what you need to do to get started, and it's another great way to stay fit.
Roy, do you do any martial arts yourself? Are you a big martial arts guy?
I don't do a lot now. Every once in a while when I want to try something new, I look up a gym here in the New York area and go for one of the workouts, because it is great to try new things. It's not a regular part of my regimen, but I certainly like to, every couple of months, just call a gym that's offering one of these types of styles and try it out. I usually pay for it very dearly over the next couple of days,
right,
because
right.
A lot of these disciplines will hurt you in places that you didn't know you had. So, but it's great to sort of shake things up, shake up your regimen, shake up your body every once in a while. And I know the fat guy does that.
Yeah, I have a black belt in Tai Bo.
Yeah, we had on Billy Blanks Jr. the other last week.
Tai or Tai Bo?
Tai Bo.
Did I hear that correctly?
It's called Bow Tie Pasta. That's what it's right. Really called. That's what he's into, and that's what he really loves. And always great information in Men's Fitness Magazine. Also great little recipes for things for people to have as well. And Roy, we got to cut it short today, but again, we really appreciate you coming on the show today. Always a pleasure to bring you on. Also, the website, mensfitness.com, great information there as well, and we hope you have a real safe and happy Thanksgiving coming up this week.
Don't be strangers, and same to you and your families as well.
Thanks, Roy. We really appreciate it. We'll talk to you next month.
Absolutely. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. That's Roy Johnson. He's the editor of Men's Fitness Magazine. Go check him out online, also at mensfitness.com. And when you're online, check out Dr. Fitness and the Fat Guy at drfitnessandthefatguy.com. Check out our new book, 35 Things to Know to Raise Active Kids. Not schlumpy kids, active kids. We're done with the schlumpy kids. We want the active ones now. And if you want that, you got to go read our book. Okay, I am excited to bring on our next guest. This is our headliner. This is somebody that I am so excited to talk to. She is the author of a new book, and she's also a producer as well. The book is called The Family Dinner, Great Ways to Connect with Your Kids One Meal at a Time. We're talking to Lori David. Lori, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
It's such a pleasure to have you on the show and to talk about this new book. Now, first of all—
It's a beautiful book.
Yeah, no, it's definitely—
Thank you so much. Now, I'm so excited about it. I could talk forever about it. I can't even walk around my house without holding it.
Now, when you created this book, first of all, was the family dinner something that was real important to you as a kid growing up?
Okay, first of all, family dinners growing up, not so good.
Not so good.
Honestly, my memories of them, and we had them every night, was who was going to leave the table first in tears. And so it was always for me about, like, how quickly can I get through this meal out on the street back on my bicycle?
Right.
But it served me well, honestly, because as a parent, I knew not to repeat that, that I wanted to do something different. And dinner became a priority for me as a parent.
So now, when you grow up in an environment where you like where dinner isn't that important, when did it become so important to you to make it such a high priority in your life? Now, did it start
well,
when
well,
you
here's were... Here's what happened, okay? Here's the honest-to-God truth. You know, first of all, the statistics on the importance of dinner are staggering, okay?
Right.
Like, everything you are concerned about as a parent is improved by sitting down to regular meals, like from drugs to alcohol to promiscuity, academic achievement, self-esteem. I didn't know any of that, okay? Here's what I knew. I had two kids. I had a husband who was working 7 days a week, and I was desperate for some happy, cozy family moments.
Right.
And I wasn't having them. And I just had this realization that, you know what, I'm going to have to create them because this is going to be a long road if I can't make things a little more fun here, right?
Right.
I mean, it's hard. It's challenging when you have little kids.
Now,
so
right.
I said, you know what, we all have to eat. And I put the focus on dinner. I said, this is where we're going to have fun. And that's what I did. And over the course of a decade, coming up with, you know, amazing food, great verbal games to play at the table, things to talk about at the table, ways for everyone to participate, the results are this book. Everything in this book I've done in my house and they have worked. And, you know, my kids are teenagers now, and they're still coming to the table. It's a non-negotiable in my house. And I know, at least looking back now, I know where I've spent, you know, Monday through Friday, that hour every day. And as your kids get older, it gets harder and harder to connect with them and harder for everyone to have meaningful family moments. And we really do have to grab this gift that each day gives us, which is dinner, the fact that everyone has to eat.
Now, first of all, you're a high-profile person. And are you living in Hollywood as well, in California?
I live in Los Angeles.
Los Angeles.
I wouldn't say I live in Hollywood, but I live in L.A.
Okay. L.A. Now, for you to be able to do this, this really shows that anybody can do this. This isn't something
Anybody can do it. And the truth is, you know, we all want our kids to lead healthy lives. Well, one of the best ways we can arrange that is to eat with them more often. And I really believe that, you know, we should kind of shift our attitude about what dinner actually is. It doesn't have to be three courses and, you know, a homemade apple pie in the oven.
Right.
It can be soup and a salad. It can be, you know, breakfast for dinner. It could be an omelet with some chopped broccoli in it. Because the key to the whole thing is sitting down and talking. That's the key to it.
Can you?
So that's the thing that we have to do. And of course, everything about our life today, our lifestyle, is tearing this apart, including, you know, the long commutes and two working parents and after-school activities scheduled during dinner time and the computer and the cell phone and the television, all these, and the microwave, by the way, you know, one-minute quick meals, eat alone. All these things are tearing us apart. So it's really up to us to grab this back and recapture this ritual that works, that the benefits will be, you know, off the charts for everybody.
Can you share how it works in your house, a typical dinner with your family?
Well, I have a whole chapter on steps, which are really like rules, but steps sounds a little softer. But, you know, there's certain rules that I've done that have made this work, which is, you know, we pretty much have dinner the same time every night. When my kids were younger, it was earlier. Now that they're older, it's, you know, we're eating at a very civilized 7 o'clock. Everybody knows to come to dinner at 7 o'clock. I have, there's no cell phones at the table, and this is a big one for parents. And by the way, here's the rule. You do not bring a cell phone to the table. If I see a cell phone, if I hear a vibration, if I see someone glance at a phone, I get the phone.
What about publicists? No publicists?
Your kids don't want you taking their phone.
Right.
Guess what's going to happen? They're going to leave it in their room. So
right.
This is right off the bat, we're taking a break from all this technology. And the kids are addicted, and the parents are addicted, and, you know, I'm at a breaking point myself with the computers and the cell phones. So here's a... put your foot down at dinner. No cell phones at the table.
Now, how did this fly? I'm sorry, Lori. How did this fly when you first started doing this with your husband and the kids and everybody? Did everybody, was everyone like, no, I don't want to die. No, I'm going to do this.
The thing is, if you start when your kids are young, right?
Right.
You will reap the benefits when they get older because it'll be second nature. But here's what happens when you put down some rules, okay? Everyone gets used to it pretty quickly. And here's what's going to amaze you. The one time you break the rule, it'll be your kids telling you, no, you don't do that.
Right.
Because we never were allowed to answer the phone if the phone rang during dinner time. And I remember very clearly one night where the phone rang and I was expecting a call and it was an important call and I got up to go get it and my kids yelled at me. Like, no, you can't answer. But wait a second, it's important. No, that's the rule, Mom. So that's what you
right.
want. And,
right.
You know, you're the captain of the ship. You're the one who's in charge. And if it's important to you, it'll be important to them. And here's the thing. What's going to happen is you're going to, as a result of a few rules, you're going to have these great dinners, these
right.
great, fun, memorable dinners. And everyone's going to want to keep coming back.
Yeah. And in the book, it's amazing. You really go through a lot of different topics in the book, including about specifically what topics that you can talk about, how to bring up certain things. You also have really quick, easy recipes for people to utilize, too, when they're cooking as well. Now, when it comes to a child that you may have, that you know, when you're cooking dinner, is it one dinner for everyone, or is it, you know, this guy wants
meals.
This and this guy wants this? How does it happen in the David family?
No. It is one meal for everyone. Don't cook for your kids. Cook for your family. And if you're making delicious food, guess what? Everyone's going to love it.
Right.
And that's one of the things that I love about the recipes in here, and they're all things that, you know, have worked in my house. I mean, if you serve delicious food, everyone is going to eat it. And you have to set these patterns up very early on, and you have to be consistent with it. So, listen, the last thing you want to be is a short-order cook. And here's the rule. Everyone tries everything. And that's not like in the old days where it's like everybody eats everything, because
right.
that doesn't work. And I spend half my time, you know, feeding peas to the dog under the table. So,
right.
But this is everyone tries everything. Everyone tastes everything. Because what happens is it can take anywhere from 10 to 12 times tasting something to develop a palate for it. So you want to give your kids that gift of expanding their palate. And the only way to do that is to make them taste everything. And here's another thing, reason why that's important. It shows respect for the person who prepared the food. This takes time. This is effort. This is, you know, when I serve a dinner, I want to hear some acclaims. I want to get the, you know,
right.
the joy and the self-esteem of everybody going, oh, my gosh, this is so delicious.
Right. You want them to lie to you. You need them to lie a little bit so that they know
they can lie a little bit. It's okay. But everybody has to taste everything. And you know what? If you have a couple of meals where people don't eat, you know, that's the way it goes. But generally, when you're cooking for your family, you're making things that are family friendly. So there you go.
Now, what are some of the games you play besides hide the peas or give the peas to the dog?
Okay, here's a game that I love that you guys should try tonight at your tables, okay? And by the way, the family is whoever you're sharing a meal with. If you don't have kids, maybe it's your girlfriends, it's your male friends, whatever. Family is whoever you're sharing the meal with. So here, try this game tonight. This is a family favorite in the David household because we have so many of them.
Okay.
And it's called the Pet Peeve and Idiosyncrasy Game. So you go around the table. First of all, you explain the difference between, you debate the difference between what a pet peeve is and what an idiosyncrasy is. And then you go around the table and everyone says what theirs are. And if you're a quirky family, you could probably go around the table a couple of times. And if you're a strong family, you could name each other's idiosyncrasies and pet peeves. But don't get into a fight over that.
That sounds great. That's a really, Lee, should we try that?
Yeah,
that's a good game.
No, you should definitely try that tonight. But there's, you know, dozens and dozens of other great games and fun things to do at the table. Things to play when you have a little more time. Things to talk about at the table when you're, you're enjoying your main course. One other thing that we're doing is on the Huffington Post every single Friday. The editors of the Huffington Post are doing what we call the Family Dinner Download. So they're going to take one great news story from the week. They're going to write a short, snappy synopsis of the news story with a question for the table. So this is a fantastic resource, and we've already had two up. This Friday will be our third week, and that's something you can download and print and bring to the table, and there you're off on a great discussion about an important issue. And all these questions and stories will be age-appropriate and fantastic fodder for conversation.
Now, Lori, do you enjoy cooking? Are you someone that likes to cook and be in the kitchen? Or are you somebody
I
that's like
– I love to cook. I would. I'm not the greatest cook in the world. I need recipes. I have to have recipes. But I'm really good at like tossing together a sandwich from what's left over in the refrigerator. But in terms of food, I need recipes, and I love recipes, and I love cookbooks. I find cookbooks are like a way to take a vacation. You know, Jamie Oliver's books I adore. I love all the photographs and
yeah, he's great.
Veggies, and I grow a lot of vegetables too. So, but I love to cook, and that's the other thing that. If you can kind of shift your attitude, instead of looking at this as a chore, look at this as, you know, sort of a beautiful opportunity to have some good downtime, to slow down your day and focus on something. And I believe in setting the mood for yourself as well as setting the mood for everybody else. So when I go into the kitchen, the first thing I do is I turn on music, I light a candle,
right.
I put on a very cool apron I got from Anthropology, and and then I have fun. So that's the concept here. And also to include your kids whenever you can, because if you include your kids in the process, they're going to take a little more ownership of the whole thing.
Right.
That's a great thing to teach.
And I really enjoyed the part in the book, too, that you brought music into the book, because you have some interviews with the girls from Heart, Nancy and Ann Wilson, and the kind of music that they enjoyed when they're cooking or eating, or that was around the table when they were growing up, or you know, Carly
exactly.
Simon.
I mean, Nancy Wilson had a great story about how her family incorporated music in their dinners, and obviously she and her sister Anne went on to create Heart. But everybody, you know, everyone I talk to, I'm lucky enough, I have a couple of girlfriends who happen to be rock and roll stars, and that's, you know, so much fun. So it was great to ask them, well, what do you put on to inspire you when you're in your kitchen or getting ready for a party or a dinner or whatever? And we got some great answers. And I bought all those soundtracks, those CDs, and one night I felt like I was cooking with Carole King, and another night I was cooking with Bette Midler, and it was really fun to do.
Now, I expect that there was a lot of laughing going on in the David family for dinners. Is there a lot of spitting food at the table a lot, like, you know,
okay,
coughing,
you know,
up
what?
Nose.
This is what you would expect, but guess what?
What's that?
You know, people thought I had a professional comedian at my table. Conversation was easy, but it wasn't, because Larry was not great at table conversation. Dinners, he didn't have good role models. When he was growing up, dinner was about refueling. And
right.
So, you know, he had to learn. I kicked him many, many nights. He had sore shins. From me kicking him, telling him to participate.
Right.
And eventually, the great news is the more you do dinner, the better you get at it. But, you know, I can't tell you how many people I interviewed who said, well, we had regular dinners, but nobody talked. And for a lot of people, coming up with a conversation is just as challenging as figuring out what to make. So Larry's now a great dinner conversationalist. And he's
because of you.
Years.
Because of you. If
yeah,
it wasn't for
okay,
you.
I'll take some credit for that.
And
I have this, you know, I have this old-fashioned philosophy, which is that, you know, when you come to the table, you have an obligation to participate.
Right.
And I really think that's a good value. And I think it's something we should be teaching our kids. It's like, you know, you have an obligation to taste things. You have an obligation to talk, to share a story, and to participate. Hey, here's another really important point, which is that the professors at Emory University have been studying rituals for years, and they wanted to figure out the answer to why is dinner time so powerful? Why is this such a powerful ritual? And they figured out the answer. And here it is, that the dinner table is the number one place where family history is passed on. And when we stop having dinner together, we stop passing these stories on. And it's the knowledge of where your family came from that is one of the top ways you build resiliency in your children.
Wow. That's great.
So I have a chapter about grandparents. I have a game in here called Do You Know? This is a great thing to start talking about at the table. Even if your kids roll their eyes when you start telling that story about grandma or grandpa again, tell these stories. I mean, your kids really do devour this, and it really is a key to raising civilized children, knowing that that people came before them and survived, and that's why you're here. And the passing on of family history at the dinner table is just, you know, one of the most important things we can do.
Now, you mentioned kids a lot and getting them involved. Do your kids have any go-to recipes when they're making dinner?
Yeah, my kids. Well, I have one daughter, of course, that loves cooking, and the other daughter who does not love cooking.
Oh, that's
so
perfect. Perfect for the one
know,
who
that's
doesn't
the
like.
The way it works. But here's the thing that my daughter loves to do that does like to cook is she likes to come in and she likes to stir things. I call it potchkering, which I think is an old Yiddish word.
Yeah.
Which means just like, you know, potchkering. I think it means potchkering.
Right.
But she loves to stir things, and she likes to put the onions in when the oil gets hot. And but you know what the funny thing is about having your kids do a couple of things? And on a lot of the recipes in the book, we have two or three little suggestions what kids can do in each recipe to kind of help and take some ownership. When she comes in and she potchkers or stirs the onions or throws the spices in, when we sit down to the dinner table, she announces to everybody she cooked dinner. And she feels that way.
Nice.
She feels like she did cook dinner.
That's right.
It's fantastic. We want them thinking that.
That's right. Now, when I grew up, for dinner for me with my family was a lot of yelling, a lot of screaming. And the yelling was always about in a Jewish house. It was always my mom would make the food and my dad would yell at my mom for not sitting down and eating. Like she'd make it and she'd always be up and moving and doing stuff, but
exactly.
never sit down and actually eat with us. How do you?
You know what? That is such a common experience. The modern day version of that is what we call hovering. Where parents, you know,
is that
hang
Yiddish?
Out at the counter, or they hover over their kids while they're eating. And I cannot urge parents enough to sit down. This is the key to dinner. It's not even so much about the food. It's about sitting down and talking. So that's the thing that we have to do. We have to slow. We have to take a break, okay? Our kids need the break. They need, and it's not even quality time. They need focus time.
Right.
Okay, that's what they need from us. They're desperate for our attention. And we need the focus time from them, too. So the most important thing, really, is about sitting down. And if you have to get takeout, get healthy takeout, take it out of the plastic, put it in a bowl, make scrambled eggs with broccoli for dinner, you know, soup and a salad. That's all you need.
Right.
And sit down and talk.
Yes. Laura, and before we go, there's one other thing I wanted to talk about because it's such a great chapter. I've never read anything about this. That's such a wonderful – I think it's going to help a lot of people. It's about even your personal experience with even how important dinner is even when you're going through a divorce and how important it is to create those rituals and keep those rituals going and how to go through.
Here's the thing. You know, when we go through crises, when half of all marriages end up in divorce, and that the first thing that goes are your rituals, are your routines, the things that you did all the time. And it's the time when your kids need them more than ever. They need the security. They need the safety. They need the normalcy. And so I really urge people to keep their traditions going, even if it's difficult. And it was difficult, and I write about this in the book.
Right.
It took, you know, it was hard, but I figured out a couple of ways to do it. One is to lean on your friends and family. I can't tell you how many nights at 5 o'clock I was calling people, friends up, begging them to come to dinner.
Because
if you have other
right.
people at the table, it alleviated the tension a little bit.
Right.
And eventually I had, you know, my goal was to get Larry back at the table with us, enjoying a meal. And it took time. But it happened, and
right.
I write about it in the book, and we now have dinner with Larry once a week, once every other week, and it's fantastic. It's great for the kids, it's great for him, and it's great for me. And by the way, we're co-parenting, you know, and it's going to, as kids get older and you get into those teen years, it gets tougher and tougher and tougher, and you really need to have a line of communication open with each other as best you can. So this is one way to try to do it, and I hope it'll inspire people to give it a go.
It's really a masterpiece. You created a lot of great information in the context of a recipe. Gives recipes, but really great information on really how to navigate through the tough times and to make the family dinner such an important staple of everyone's lives. And there's some wonderful information. I recommend everyone get it. And they can get the book at LoriDavid.com. They can also get anywhere, Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble. It's a wonderful book, and it's a beautiful book, too. And we really
and a great Christmas gift
and Hanukkah. Forget about Christmas; it's Hanukkah,
and Hanukkah.
Gift. Absolutely,
it's a great holiday. It's a great gift for any family.
It's a great gift, and again, much continued success with the book. And also, I know you have other things that you're into, environmentalists. You do plenty of other things, and we'd love to talk to you more about that stuff in the future as well. It was wonderful having you on the show.
Anytime. Thank you so much.
Have a great holiday. Take care.
Bye bye.
Right. That is Lori David. She is the author of The Family Dinner. Great book. Great ways to connect with your kids one meal at a time. Go check out the book at Amazon.com anywhere, and also check out our website, LoriDavid.com. And also when you're online, check out Dr. Fitness and Fat Guy at DrFitnessandTheFatGuy.com. Okay, that's all we got today, Lee. We got to wrap it up. I want to thank all of our guests for coming on the show. There's too many to thank, so I'm just going to thank you.
Thank you.
And everybody out there, have a great holiday. Remember, every week, we are making healthy living
fun for everyone.
We'll see you next time.